All right, everybody. All right, I'm going to ask my team if they can hear me and they can send me a text. It said to unmute my mic. Everyone, welcome to Regeneration COVID 2020 style. I'm coming to you live from my junky garage. I want to point something out to you because I feel confident enough in myself. You see that right there? That's a well, I'm colorblind. I think it's turquoise. It's something I got at a garage sale. I think it was $5. I keep my tools in it. That's right, my manly tools are in a robin's egg blue 5 container thing, and I'm okay with that. So welcome to Regeneration. My name is John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from alcoholism, gluttony, and this past week, gluttony. So struggling with this whole shelter in place thing, it has turned into stuff my face instead of shelter in place. So yesterday during shelter in place, I was like, in our backyard, and I found a little gardener snake, like 8 inches long, tiny little snake. And I bring it in, and I thought my boys would be like super interested. Instead, Penny, my 4-year-old daughter, was enthralled with the snake. Her name is Stella. In case you were wondering, she is a girl. Her name is Stella. So Penny carried around the whole day like it was a kitten, and was showing it to everyone she could and talking all about Stella. And she put it in a bucket in our kitchen with like bark and leaves and stuff. Well, this morning Stella was not in her bucket. And so we have a free range snake going throughout our house. And that didn't make my wife feel very comfortable at all to be in our house. Ann Daly told me their life expectancy is about 3 years if you feed them. So I think we've got pretty good odds. And by the way, in my garage, the lights are going to go on and off their motion detector. So that's awesome. And there's this like halo effect. Where is it? I should find it with my hand coming down from the light. That's not my personal holiness or the Shekinah glory. That's just my light. Life expectancy 3 years on the gardener snake. So I think we're in good shape, but it didn't come from my wife at all. But I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know what? There's another snake free range, not just in my house, but in my life. And I think we're all kind of experiencing that right now. Like, I think with the shelter at home thing, and maybe it's with sickness and frustration or fear, but Satan's having a heyday with us in inciting fear and anxiety and dangling things in front of us around, you know, maybe medical concerns, financial concerns. It may be like me, like at home with the kitchen just 10 feet away from where I'm officing. I've got to like put brakes on this somehow. I'm just like given over to the flesh. And if you were listening to Todd's sermon yesterday, he said that like small sins lead to big sins. And so what I thought that we would talk about tonight, because I think all of us are dealing with it at some level or another, is relapse. And so with relapse, it's a condition of human nature. Sometimes relapse, you think like, oh, I was sober for 14 years and then I drank again, I blew it, I relapsed. I think really we're relapsing on a daily basis, because a relapse is anytime you know something is bad or dangerous and yet you go back to it. I think we can kind of hold relapse kind of as this large kind of catastrophic event, when really the large catastrophic event happens because of small micro concessions that we're making every single day or hour, small relapses that lead to a huge relapse. And so Spurgeon said this, and I think it's relevant as we talk about relapse: a Christian must never stop repenting, for I fear he never stops sinning. A Christian must never stop repenting, for I fear he never stops sinning. Paul writes about this as people that were kind of prone to relapse, or they were thinking like, well, hey, Christ has forgiven us. COVID-19 has hit here in 2020, so why not just kind of do what I want to do? It kind of feels like an extended vacation. I'm stuck at home. Nobody can see me. I'm isolated. I'm bored, hungry, tired, angry, lonely, whatever. So here's what Paul writes. What should we, this is Romans 6, 1 and 2. What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Some of the strongest language there in the New Testament, that by no means. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And so as we're thinking about relapse, not just on a macro scale, like a large event, but a micro, individual, hourly, daily thing, I've got three principles on relapse that I want to talk us through tonight. Sorry, as I'm like kneeling in my garage. I've got the computer sitting on a chair. There's no telling who's going to walk through that door. No joke, 15 minutes ago, one of my children, I won't say who, came out and peed in this garage. So that's what you get with live stream. So the first that I want to talk about, and I've got a little visual here. You know me, I'm a visual learner. So I'm going to set these up. We'll just let these be teasers. There's going to be three of them. This is my kid's Play-Doh. I was like, hey, kids, I need to borrow your Play-Doh so that I can teach people about Jesus and the Bible. I mean, what are they going to do? Say no? Can't say no to that. So this right here, these matches, we're going to start here. These matches represent daily decisions. You might even say hourly decisions, and how we're prone to sin. And what happens with a relapse, whenever it begins, the reason why I confess gluttony, and people might think like, really, you ate too much cereal? Give me a break. Talk to me when you have real problems. Well, if I don't confess that, if I don't confess that gluttony, that what we perceive to be small is going to keep growing. Like my flesh wars against the spirit, which is Galatians 5. And so we've got to learn to deal harshly with any sin, whether large or small. Colossians 3 says, put it to death. Don't toy with it at all, but put it to death. So this represents some small decisions that represent sin. Talk about humility. I've got this like floral match pack I found in our drawer. So when sin comes alive, and if it touches or you tangle with it in any way, it incites another sin. And when that sin gets with the flesh, there's a chain reaction. And so what you see drawn across there is that. And what the Bible instructs us to do is to confess. To confess, just like someone would say, fire, fire. You confess. You're like, bro, I looked at porn last night. I watched something I shouldn't have. Oh, that's bad. So I also just put my knee on a hot match, but that came out a little more than I thought and just sprayed everything on that side of the garage. But, and someone on my team said, hey, don't be sure not to spray much because it's bad for your lungs. So that's awesome too. Something else will probably get me. Don't worry. The way that that got put out is by confessing. You bring it into the light. James 5:16, a scripture that we're all very familiar with in regeneration, is therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The way that fire got put out is if this was a person and he cried out, I'm on fire, I just looked at porn, I'm overeating, I'm overindulging in this way, I'm being controlling against my children or my husband, whatever it may be, that you would cry out to the body of Christ, not just to anybody, but to your Christian brothers or sisters. And it says in turn that they will pray for you and that God then will extinguish the flame. He will bring healing. All right. Now that there's no joke, like fire extinguisher dust on my Bible and everything else in my garage. But is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. The next one here is this represents things in your life that are prone to lead you into sin. And so right now, what we're going to talk about is relapse. The first one was relapse, then confess. This is relapse, cut it out. And so you saw what happened with this one. Whenever an object in motion tends to stay in motion, Newton's laws, in the same way that once we start sinning, we're prone to keep sinning unless something intervenes. In that case, it was confession. In this case, Jesus is going to give us a different instruction. Again, these are things that lead you into sin, representing that now. Matthew 5:30, Jesus says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Oops, wrong match. Cut it off and throw it away. Remind me to pick that up, small children. For it is better that you lose one of your members, than that your whole body go into hell. Now, people might say, like, if you're like cell phones leading you into sin because you're looking at porn, it's like, well, hold on, Jesus. My cell phone's important. I use that to talk to my mom and dad. I use that to call my sister who's overseas. I use that to do my work. I do that to, you know, check and make sure that I can connect with those who are in need. And Jesus would say in this case, just like the right hand, like, hold on, Jesus, I use my right hand to work. I use my right hand to help people. He's like, yeah, if it leads you into sin, cut it off. And so in that way, That might represent a cell phone or a computer, whatever it is. You cut it off and then watch what happens. Here's the principle of what happens. So say you're led into sin by one thing or another. You stay up too late, you're watching Amazon. It kind of gives you into lust and you're like, oh man, I gotta get rid of my laptop. You pull it out of the middle and look what happens. It doesn't connect with the one there because what you've done is removed the thing that is leading you to combust into sin. And so when that's removed, the chain reaction that occurred here stopped because you cut it out of your life. So there's that. And then lastly, that's relapse, cut it out. The first one was relapse, confess. And this next one is found in Romans 13, 14, if you want to turn there, but you're like, no, I'm not going to turn there. This is way too entertaining to see if your garage burns down. This is to avoid further relapse right here. So we'll just move these off to the side. You remember what happened with those. This is to avoid further relapse. So, or you could say just to avoid relapse in general. Although I said at the beginning, we're all kind of relapsing in small ways all throughout the day. So really this is to avoid relapse. And you know what's going to happen. Like if I light that match, that next one is going to combust. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap this match in foil. Now, why would I wrap it in foil? To give it a space suit. I'm wrapping it in foil because it's what Scripture says to do. It says in Romans 13, 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that match represents the Lord Jesus Christ. You just put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and make no provision for the flesh. So there's no part of that match that is now exposed. I made no provision for the flesh. And so what I'm going to do is here comes temptation and sin. It's going to light the one beside it. And though the flames are touching it, the temptation, the desires, all those things are touching. They're right up against it. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now let's look inside of what happened here. Wow, that's hot foil. Goodness gracious. Hold on. I know you're curious. Little circus trick here. Perfectly good match. Why? Because it made no provision for the flesh by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is with us. To avoid further relapse or to avoid relapse, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in doing so, make no provision for the flesh, and you will not get burned by sin. So, to review, if you find yourself just getting lit up by sin, you confess. You confess to someone else, and God, and they pray, and God will extinguish those flames. This one, if you relapse, you cut it out of the middle, you cut it off, whatever that access point is for the sin, and then it'll stop it from spreading. And on this one, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You might think like, well, what does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What is that? Spending time in the Word. I've got fire extinguisher dust in my throat. Praying, memorizing Scripture. Spending time in community daily. Just because you're sheltering in place doesn't mean they can't do these video chats or text throughout the day, encouraging one another with all the deceitfulness of sin. Fasting is a really good way to clothe yourself because it'll make you more mindful of spiritual things and not crave the desires of the flesh. There's all sorts of ways, but you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, you guys, now I'm going to release you to your groups. It's almost 7:15. I'm watching my clock here. It's amazing that I'm not going long because I do every other time. It's good to look at a clock every now and then when you teach. But may we all not relapse as we confess, cut it out, and clothe ourselves in Christ. That's the way that God's going to keep us healthy and well, not just in this COVID shelter in place, but throughout the millenniums, the last 2,000 years, that's what he's done, and he will continue to do as we walk with him. So tonight, you've got an opportunity. Confess to your brothers and sisters as you go to your small groups. Talk about what steps you need to take to cut things out, like me not having sweets in the house, or if you're not spending just some really concerted, intentional time with the Lord, what you could do to take that next step of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have an awesome night of worship. We love, I'm not even kidding. We love you all. Pray for my lungs.